today as we come to the table.
What a beautiful symbol it is of them being hidden in Jesus Christ as he protects them during the great tribulation. But they fled into the wilderness where she prepared a place for them by God that they should be fed there by her 1,260 days. And then God's going to bring them back from there to Jerusalem. Guys, I leave us with this. They had great persecution on them, and the world literally is going to be falling apart when this takes place for them. Well, in our world today, it's pretty chaotic, is it not? Where did God lead them to a place of safety while everything was in chaos? He led them to hide in the rock. That's where we need to go right now. We as believers need to run to our rock, Jesus Christ.
If you spend your time and energy consuming the news that is shoved down our throats in this society, you'll quickly find yourself overwhelmed and discouraged. Worrying over what's happening can quickly distract you from what should be focused on, seeking Christ and sharing his gospel while we still have time. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark will encourage us in today's message, as times get closer to Christ's return, the world will oppress the church and reject the gospel more adamantly. Times will get hard for Christians, but we don't need to be afraid. Christ is our refuge, and we can have hope and peace in his promises. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 12 as he continues his message, The Woman, the Child, and the Dragon.
Jacob reveals the interpretation right here. What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So what Jacob understood is, I as the father of the nation of Israel, I represent the sun, the strongest light in his dream. The moon is, of course, Rachel, represents the mother of the nation of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the 12 stars on the woman's head, that's the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph being the 12th, but seeing his brothers from that vantage point. So we get the definition of who they are, and that's important as we turn back now to Revelation chapter 12. Because now with that understanding, and now with that insight, look at verse 1 again, in the vision John had and was now passing on in code, if you will, to believers on the mainland. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, immediately they would have known what he was talking about. Genesis 37, with the moon under her feet. This is Jacob and Rachel, the father and mother of the nation of Israel. And on her head, a garland of 12 stars. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. So we see now the Messiah being born, if you will, to the nation of Israel, and the father, mother of the nation of Israel, Jacob and Rachel, and the 12 tribes all being represented in this mysterious vision, unless you know the Old Testament. But what's interesting is there's still something to answer. Who is this woman? Now, again, there are different viewpoints. Some have tried to say that this is Mary because she was the mother of Jesus, right? But we know it's not Mary because here in just a moment, we're going to see that this woman, whoever she is, she flees to the wilderness to Petra for 3.5 years with the Antichrist chasing her and God supernaturally protecting her. That never happened with Mary. So we can write Mary off as being the interpretation of who this is. Well, what about the next one? Well, again, some say it's the church. Well, I would say the same thing. It says that whoever this woman is going to flee to Petra for 3.5 years, be chased by the Antichrist, and God's going to supernaturally protect them. That has never happened in church history, and the Bible doesn't say that's going to happen to the church today. We certainly couldn't get to Petra when all this begins. So we have to write off that it's the church. By the way, there's another problem. Jesus said that his church, he sees his church in a spiritual sense as his virgin bride, and this woman is pregnant. That creates a problem for it being the church. So who is this? Again, God refers to the nation of Israel as a she. And now we see in this picture here, the nation of Israel giving birth to the Messiah, represented by, again, this woman here and the garland on her head. And how do we further know it's the nation of Israel? Because the Bible tells us here and in other places that Israel is going to flee into the wilderness to Petra. And the Bible tells us that is the nation of Israel. So now we have the interpretation laid out before us. And he sees this vision. And again, remember, with prophecy, you see everything. When you're from God's viewpoint, you don't just see what's happening at the moment. You see what happened in the past. You see what's happening presently. And you see what happens in the future. And so John is now in heaven, if you will, in this vision, seeing this from all angles. And he sees the past as to what's already happened with Jesus being born, dying, and resurrecting. And again, we'll see in just a moment, going to the Father. And notice in verse 3, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. Now, what in the world is going here? Well, the dragon is pretty easy. I don't think we need to explain that one, but I'll show you that the best interpreter of Scripture is Scripture. Look at verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. So we see that the dragon is, again, Satan himself. And so when we see him here, again, notice he has 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns on the 7 heads. What is this? Again, the Bible, again, describes this beast as this last one world government. It's going to be led up by a beast, an actual person. But it gives the entire picture also of the one world government. Be watching for a grouping of nations to come together. Is it going to happen now? I don't know, but things are happening rather quickly. And what it says is 10 nations will come together. It's talked about here as well as in Daniel chapter 2 in Daniel's vision. And it says that once these 10 nations have gathered together, the Antichrist is going to rise up suddenly out of nowhere in the midst of those 10 nations. He's going to rise to be the leader of those 10 nations, although he's not a leader of any of the nations, it would appear. And he's going to yank 3 of them down immediately. So the 10 nations will still be in place as linking together to rule the world, but 3 of their presidents will be pulled down and removed. And the Antichrist will lead all of them in that authoritative position. He'll be over all 10 nations, and he'll be over the 7 remaining presidents or prime ministers or whatever name their nation uses over them. Now, with that understanding, notice this. He says there were 7 heads. These are the remaining 7 nations after 3 are pulled down. The 10 horns are still the 10 nations coming together in this one world government. And the 7 diadems or crowns on their heads are the 7 crowns that are still on the leaders of those nations. Although they come under the authority of the Antichrist, he will still be ruling them. By the way, the number 7 also shows a number of completeness, which means he will be completely controlling the world. It says, then his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. The Bible tells us that when Satan fell, he took a third of the angels with him. And John now sees Satan being thrown out. He sees a third of these angels falling with Satan. And then he sees, again, notice here, the dragon or Satan waiting to devour the child. That is, as soon as Jesus was born, he wanted to devour him. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to take him out. What happened right after Jesus was born? If you remember the story, and I know you do, Herod immediately sent his guards down to kill every male child 2 years old and under in the entire Bethlehem region. Why? That was Satan moving in Herod to devour the child. Now, we know he wasn't able to do that. He, again, a lot of children died, unfortunately, and irresponsibly and horribly at this, but God supernaturally protected Jesus. And notice he says, she bore a male child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. This is speaking prophetically of the 1,000-year reign. Jesus Christ will come in the future and will rule the nations. And notice how he'll rule them with a rod of iron. That is ultimate and total authority. When he comes back, he's going to be ruling. You talk about somebody that has ultimate authority, it will be the Lord. But here's the difference. The Antichrist is going to be a tyrant. Jesus is going to be one who laid his life down for us. That's the kind of leadership that we need. Someone who's willing to die for us and to love us, and someone who is righteous and pure and holy, and everything he does is right. He'll be ruling and reigning with a rod of iron. What that means is he won't allow any shenanigans. It's going to be, you know what, new sheriff in town, and the earth's going to be run in a righteous way. It's going to be exciting. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Again, Jesus, as you know, died, resurrected, was taken up to the Father, and they're collected at the throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Again, the 1,260 days is 3.5 years. And the Bible mentions 3.5 years. Remember the first segment of the last 7 years before the Lord comes back, and the last segment of it before the Lord comes back, broken up in 3.5 and 3.5. It's spoken of in three different ways. 1,260 days. It's spoken of sometimes in 42 months. And again, just, you know, God uses different language to describe it and to talk about it. And it's also spoken of as time, times, and half a time. Time being a year, times being 2 years, and half a time being half a year. So it makes up the 3.5 years of this entire time. So again, we have this 3.5 year segment where it says the woman, who again has been identified as the nation of Israel, will flee into the wilderness to a place prepared by God. Now, a couple things about that. The first 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to seem like the answer the world's looking for. And the Jews themselves, many of them, are going to even believe he might be their Messiah. However, there's also going to be an outpouring of the Spirit on the Jews at that time with the two witnesses that we looked at last week. And during that time, many Jews will be saved. Now, even among those Jews that aren't saved, obviously the saved ones will be learning the New Testament, but many of the Jews that aren't saved now, they know the New Testament. They have a multitude of tour guides over there, and they have to train specifically in the New Testament because all of us go over there. Isn't it kind of neat the way God set this up? They don't believe in their Messiah. We do. God sends a bunch of people over there that believe in their Messiah, and they've got to take us on tour and know what our Bible says so they can lead us on it. Isn't God, just don't you love the way he works? I find it beautiful. I find it, because now they know the Word of God. When he pours out his Spirit, it's all going to make sense. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 24, when you see the abomination that causes desolation, run to the wilderness. He's talking about that right here. Okay, what's the abomination that causes desolation? There were two of them, Antiochus Epiphanes, many years before this, went into the temple, declared that Zeus was God, put up an image of Zeus and smeared pig's blood all over the tabernacle, made the priests eat raw pork, which again, first of all, is horrible in and of its own, but number two, is defiling to the Jewish mindset. And that's where the Maccabean revolt comes from. If you've heard about the Maccabean revolt, they rose up and they conquered Antiochus and took over, and that was a done deal. They called that an abomination, okay? And it was the abomination of desolation. The Jews all knew about it. So when you spoke about the abomination of desolation, every Jew would realize you're talking about Antiochus Epiphanes. But when Jesus brought it up, that was way in the past. So what was Jesus talking about? Well, Jesus in Matthew 24 said, when you see the abomination that causes desolation. Ah, something different going on here. Another abomination. But this one's going to cause desolation. Even though the first one did, this one will cause even more. He said, when you see that, he said, let the reader understand. And he also said, spoken by Daniel the prophet, he's letting them know there's going to be another abomination. That was just the first one. Daniel prophesied this. And what's it going to be? The Bible tells us it will be at the midpoint of this 7 years, this last 3.5 years before the Lord comes back, the Antichrist will stand in the rebuilt third temple and declare to the Jews and the world that he's God. You think, how in the world could believe, how could anybody believe that he's God? The Bible also tells us, well, let me say this before I say that, he imitates everything the Lord's doing. He's trying to replace Jesus as the Savior of the world. Antichrist, anti doesn't just mean against. Anti means instead of. So he is coming as the instead of Christ. And the Bible says there'll be an unholy trinity. Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. It says that he'll make everyone take a mark on their hand or their forehead. We'll talk about that next week or in a couple of weeks when we get into 13. It also, everything that Jesus did, that's why I personally, it also says, again, that the Antichrist is going to be mocking the Lord, it would appear, even in a mock death and resurrection. It says something's going to happen to the Antichrist, that he'll go blind in his right eye and his right arm will wither. And it appears it happens at the midway point. Is it an assassination attempt? I don't know. Is it a stroke? Is it a heart attack? I don't know. But we know that Satan can't bring life. We learned that with Moses and the plagues in Egypt when they tried to do that. So he's either going to fake being dead and come back alive, or he may really die And Satan or some other demon just take his body. Remember when they fought over the body of Moses and Micah was protecting? Either way, the world is going to believe this guy died and he resurrected. And when you die and resurrect and everyone sees it in current modern day, and you stand up and say, now worship me, I am God, how many people do you think are going to believe it? A lot. Because he's going to be showing that. Which, by the way, I personally believe, because I think we're so close to the end, I think he's alive today, and I think he's in his 20s, somewhere in Europe. Now, I can't, the Bible doesn't say that. Everybody calm down. Pastor Mark said. Why do I believe that? Because I think he's also going to come on the scene at 30 years old. Why do I believe that? Because Jesus came on the scene at 30 years old. So far, he's been imitating everything Jesus has done. It's also interesting that Jesus' ministry, most scholars believe, went about 3.5 years. Did you know that? We tend to think it was 3. When you do the math and the months of when it looks to be right around 3.5 years, which would make total sense for him to now mock Jesus by declaring he's God at the 3.5 year point and say, no, I'm the Messiah now for 3.5 years, even as he was the Messiah for 3.5 years, at least on the earth in bodily form. So only time will tell how this all plays out. But they're going to know when they read this, when the believing Christians read this, they're going to know what it means to flee into the wilderness. When the guides who don't know the Lord see what's happening, when he stands up and has the abomination that causes desolation and the destruction of the Jews and the world begins when he declares that he's God, they're going to know what it means. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to take off down to the wilderness, and the Bible tells us where they're going. They're going to what we know of today as Petra. Turn now in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 16. And again, we'll come back to finish here in Revelation 12. But first, Isaiah, Old Testament, one of the largest books in the Bible. So you should be able to find it relatively quickly and relatively easy. Go there and go to Isaiah chapter 16, because it tells us prophetically from the other side what's going to happen. In other words, now as we look at 16, it's talking about after they have fled to the wilderness, after the second coming has taken place, and what they're supposed to do after the second coming has already taken place. Again, Moab is the region today where Petra is, and Moab is the region where they will be fleeing to. Look what it says here in Isaiah 16, verse 1. It says, send to the Lamb, that is the children of the Lord, to the ruler of the land, that is over the Moab region, from Selah to the wilderness. Selah, again, it means rock, again, which is what Petra means. Petra means rock. It was known in that day as the Rock City. Probably on the way down there, they're going to pass signs that say, Sea Rock City. Okay, I'm sorry, I had to do that. But from Selah to the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. He's saying, look, now release them from their holding place, their rock city in Moab. Release them to go back now to Zion, because the Messiah has come and I'm going to regather my people and they will join with me to rule and reign. This group that has been supernaturally protected by God. He says, for it shall be as a wandering bird thrown out of its nest. That is Israel. They're going to be thrown out of Israel by the Antichrist. They're going to be fleeing for their lives when he declares that he's God. So shall be the daughter of Moab at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel. Execute judgment. Make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day. Hide the outcasts. Do not betray him who escapes. God's saying, let them come. Let them be there. Now, we know God's going to make sure they get there safely, but he's speaking poetically and prophetically here. Look at this, verse 4. Let my outcasts, that is the Jews now that are fleeing, let my outcasts dwell with you, O Moab. Be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler. Who's the spoiler? The Antichrist. For the extortioner is at an end. Devastation ceases. Here's the abomination of desolation is beginning, but he says it's going to be ceasing by the time Jesus comes back. It'll be done. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. In mercy, the throne will be established. That is the throne of Jesus, the throne of the Lord. And one will sit on it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness. So they're going to be fleeing down there. They're going to be supernaturally protected. Now, by the way, a little bit about Petra. Petra was known to be an impenetrable city. Petra was literally built back into the rocks. But the only way you can get into the city is to come through what was called a seek, or a long hallway of rock, if you will. And what they would do is they would stand on top of it up there with hot oil and arrows and weapons and rocks. And if you tried to come into the city, you were just wiped out. I mean, you were, the oil was poured on you, the you were just taken, you know, they defended themselves with it. What's interesting, the next time this happens, when the Jews are there, they'll be defended by oil again, but it will be the oil of the Holy Spirit covering them and protecting them as a people. Now, again, you say, well, how will they eat and drink? Well, water systems have been carved into the rock. It's an amazingly designed city. It doesn't rain there very much, but when it does, it channels everything from all the surrounding rocks down channels into these reservoirs. So water won't be a problem, even for multitudes of people. And also, I've been told when we took our trip to Petra that a lot of wild animals wander in there, so they certainly would have the ability to have wild animals as well. But I find something else very interesting when I look at how God provided for them in the wilderness the first time they came out of Egypt. You remember what happened? They came out of Egypt the first time and God provided them with manna from heaven. They didn't understand what the manna represented. All they knew is that God was feeding them. And the Bible says they followed that rock when they came out of Egypt. And Paul says that rock was Christ. So we have a picture of Jesus leading them the first time in the wilderness and giving them water and manna in the wilderness. I think it's really cool. And I don't know if they'll be eating manna at Petra. But I wonder if God will regather a second time those who rebelled, those who didn't believe him, but because now they're believing and they fled to a place of safety, he will hide them in the rock, feed them possibly manna from heaven as well as other elements they can get to, and provide for their needs the 3.5 years. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says Jesus is our rock, and what a beautiful symbol it is of them being hidden in Jesus Christ as he protects them during the great tribulation. But they fled into the wilderness where she prepared a place for them by God that they should be fed there by her 1,260 days. And then God's going to bring them back from there to Jerusalem. Guys, I leave us with this. They had great persecution on them and think the world literally is going to be falling apart when this takes place for them. Well, in our world today, it's pretty chaotic, is it not? Where did God lead them to a place of safety while everything was in chaos? He led them to hide in the rock. That's where we need to go right now. We as believers need to run to our rock, Jesus Christ. He is our protector. He is the one that will defend us. He is our hope. He is our life. He will feed us all the manna and spiritual drink we need if we will just spend time with him in the word and prayer. He will protect us from the enemy. The Bible doesn't say that we will avoid every single bad thing that could happen. We don't know what the time of sorrows is going to be like, but I know this. He is our protector. He is our rock. He is in control. He told us what was going to happen, and we need to be encouraged as believers, not living in fear, but living in hope and looking to our Lord, because you know what's going to happen. The Bible says sometime very soon, although he ascended to the right hand of the Father and sat down, he's going to stand up again. Picture the scene in your mind. There's heaven. You've already seen it early in Revelation. You see the throne. You see the fire all around them. You see the angels. You see everyone. Suddenly in heaven, where they are right now, he's going to stand up, and everybody's going to go, here it is. He's going to stand up. He's going to descend into the clouds. I don't know how many are coming with him at that time, because later on, we're all going to come with him. But this first time, he's coming down to meet us. There's going to be the angels ready with the trumpet blast. He's going to sound the trumpet. We're going to rise up, meet the Lord in the air, and then we're going to go back to have the wedding supper of the Lamb while all this mess we're looking at here takes place on earth. And the party eternally is just beginning, guys, of righteousness and glory with the Lord.
The New Testament letter of Revelation is a startling reminder that God's real and that he doesn't play around when it comes to people disobeying his commands, because he wants the very best for them. Ultimately, Revelation touches on Christ's return and what it means for those who are followers of Jesus. If you aren't familiar with this kind of faith and are wondering what it means to become a follower of Jesus, don't hesitate to ask us any questions. You can connect at thewaymedia.net by clicking on the Come to the Table section or give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. We'd be happy to talk with you and pray with you about anything that you've heard or having difficulty understanding. Revelation can be a confusing book to parse through, and we want to be here as a support for your questions and concerns. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come get to know us at Calvary Knoxville. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the Calvary Knoxville link to get service times and directions at the bottom of the homepage. If these teachings have been helpful for you, or you'd like to hear more from this series in Revelation, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. God will speak to you every time you read His Word. Pastor Mark has more to share about what God is telling us in the book of Revelation. So join us here next time as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.